Well, hola, ¿cómo está? Yeah, good. Now everybody knows my address. No huevos en la casa. That means no egg in my house, all right? I think that's what that means. No egg in my house. But we would like to see you here, there tonight, and we'll have some fun, interesting things happen at my house. For one, if you've been on mission with us, you know that I snore. When I say that I snore, I mean I don't do anything halfway. I snore loudly and proudly. And so, especially you guys that went to Houston with us, I mean, it's just, I snore. And they put us in a Sunday school classroom, which in the Baptist churches means tile floors because it's cheap, and then skinny walls. And so you can, like, hear it go, and it's, like, resounding. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. But my wife doesn't particularly care for it. And so we've tried to find a number of solutions. So we're watching Shark Tank. Anybody like Shark Tank? No. So we're watching Shark Tank, and they've got this snoring solution. And basically, the thing covers your mouth, and there's like a little breathing vent in the middle. And the idea is that it forces you to breathe through your nose. Well, this sounded like a wonderful idea. And so the other night, I put this thing on. So I've got it. It's pretty comfortable. And I'm breathing through my nose. And so wake up the next day. And Robin goes, wow, about the afternoon. I didn't want to talk about it. But sometime in the afternoon, she says, hey, you didn't snore as much last night. That thing must have really worked. And I'm like, yeah, it worked. I had my mouth covered all night. I was sucking wind all night. And then this little bitty breathing vent, this little mesh breathing vent, it's like if you're drowning and somebody throws a giant pool noodle down and you can just suck a little bit out of it. And I'm sucking. It's like duct tape that with a little slit in it. This is what it's like. I'm like, yeah, it worked. It was like I was being kidnapped all night long. I was waiting for the torture to begin. I could not breathe. And she says, well, that's supposed to help you breathe through your nose. And I'm like, I breathe through the mouth because I can't get enough oxygen. You're trying to kill me, I think. And so there are easier ways to kill me, but this was the product of choice. Anyway, so I'm not being kidnapped on it. It's like somebody's covering your mouth and they give you a little bit of between the fingers. And so I'm like, we're not doing that anymore. Because I had dreams of death and kidnappings and awful people doing terrible things to me, and I didn't want to talk about it. And coupled with the melatonin that I took, you know, it was very vivid. Anyway, so I didn't want to talk about it. But death is one of those things that we don't want to talk about. In fact, go to your next party and say, hey, you want to have a beer? Say, hey, have a beer. And say, hey, what do you think about your coming up, your death coming up, your impending death that's absolutely positively going to happen? Just see how that, you'll be the life of the party. I promise you, do it. It is awesome stuff. Nobody wants to talk about death, but death is inevitable, and death is part of who we are. Death is part of this life that we live. This past week, we were gone, obviously, last week. If you were here, I wasn't. And a young girl that our sons in faith had gone on mission with, particularly in the Gambia, she took her own life. And it was a sobering thing. It was a day before her 17th birthday and things. And you just see how, beautiful girl, really beautiful girl, and you just see how overwhelming depression and death and the whole thing is. It's an ugly thing, isn't it? Death. Death is just not a pretty thing. When we were growing up, my grandmother was a very morbid individual. And so we would go. It's just the way it was. So we would go, and there were photo albums. And we go, oh, this is cool. So you get a little 6-year-old, 7-year-old kid. You pick up your grandmother's photo album. Maybe you're going to learn a little history, you know, some of your heritage or whatever. You open it up, and there's a whole photo album of people in caskets. This is a terrifying thing, you know, to see all these literally dead. And she was just like all focused on how good looking they did. They made that. He looks so natural. It looks just like him. Yeah, it looks just like him. It's his body, dummy, you know, but this is my grandmother. But death is like that. And it doesn't matter how pretty you try to make it, death happens and it's painful. And so here we are, and we're talking here as we go through what the resurrection really means and why it really matters. So we kind of had a blip, and Russ covered us last week, did a great job. We appreciate him. But we're talking about how resurrection really matters. So let's look here. We're going to look in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. There's Acts 13 there for you, and you can just read that for funsies. We're going to cover 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter here, and we're going to start at verse 20. Talking about Christ's resurrection, why does it matter? What did it matter? Couldn't Jesus have just died for our sins? Why does this resurrection, why is resurrection the event of all events in Scripture and the Bible and in all Christianity? Why is Easter the big thing? We talk about the cross quite a bit, but why couldn't it just have been that? Why did the resurrection have to happen? So let's look here. And as we did on Easter, we're going to get a little theological, but you guys can handle it, all right? But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means died. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes also through a man. Who is the man? For in Adam, death came through that man, all die. So in Christ, resurrection comes from him, all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Resurrection is the defeat of death. Jesus died, was put in the grave, and as you can read later on in Acts, his body did not experience decay. He did not decay. He was resurrected to life in power over sin that he had died for, and power over death, and power over everything. He brought death to death. So we're just going to talk a little bit about what happens when one dies. What is this all about? Why does it matter? So we've got Adam, first guy, ate the fruit with Eve, brought sin, brought death into the world. And again, this is the Christian worldview. This is the biblical worldview. This is the worldview that you will find here in these words. If it's not your worldview and it is not the worldview of the world, you will not find this on CNN or Fox News. You will not find this from Republicans or Democrats or anybody else. You will find this worldview exclusively in Scripture. Adam, the first one, brought death, brought sin. And here's the important thing. Your body was intended, this is going to blow your mind, the body that you have, your hot body, was intended to be eternal, was intended to be forever. But because you have, I have, we have, Adam have, sinned, brought death into the world. So there's decay. The world is devolving. It is not evolving to a better place. It is devolving in decay. Now, we take good care of it, and it's a beautiful place, and it's awesome, and I love to go visit all the different spots. But no matter where we go or what we do, you need to understand it's not nearly as pretty as it was intended to be. And it is not as pretty as it was in the beginning. It is in decay. Animals are eating animals. Dun, 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 dun. Whatever the Wild Kingdom theme song. It's in decay. And our bodies are now in decay. But we were not intended to have bodies that were dead. We are not intended to have bodies that die, that decay. Does that freak you out? That's where we are. This is death. This is our world. And it is not as it was intended to be. So Jesus here grows, lives, doesn't sin, is perfect, dies for our sins to redeem us, to forgive us, to cover our sins. And then he rises from the dead. And right here it says there are two. There are two Adams. Not A-T-O-M, A-D-A-Ms. Two men. One brought death and decay, which is what we're experiencing. The other, the second Adam, the Bible says, it's kind of a funky way to put it, but that's God, so I don't argue with it. Second Adam brings life and resurrection. Through his resurrection, he opens the door then for all to walk through and to experience the resurrection from the dead, to have a body again that does not know decay, that does not know death. Are you following me so far? First Adam brings death and decay. Second Adam brings life, resurrection, the resurrection of the body. So when and how does this happen? What happens when you die? According to Scripture, as best we can tell, we don't know what it looks like. I don't know what heaven's like. I don't know all this stuff because I ain't been there. In fact, I'm not sure I'm going to die because I don't know how. But somehow, we all figure out how to do this, right? Okay, so this is all our future. This is all going to happen. So when we die, our bodies are placed somewhere. Listen, people start asking, I was cremated. Am I going to be resurrected? Okay, your DNA is there. You're fine, all right? You can be cremated. It's okay. That's stupid. That's like saying people without limbs aren't going to be resurrected. That's silly, okay? Don't be silly. All right. So your full body will be resurrected. So our bodies are placed somewhere, somehow, on this earth, all right? In a grave, in an urn, wherever, whatever, out somewhere, whatever. Our souls are separated then from our body. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord, right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And at that point, our souls go to be, if we're followers of Him, with the Lord. If we're not followers of Him, we go to a place called Hades, the place of the dead. Our souls await our judgment. But we are with God at that point. What do you look like? What form are you in? I don't know, guys. I don't know what that's all about. And people are like, well, this is where ghosts come from and things like that. This is a 60-second aside. Listen, ghosts don't run around. The souls of your parents, they're not running around here. People have, every once in a while the light comes on. We don't know why. That's little Johnny telling us he's still with us. That's dumb. I love cardinals. You guys, if you're on Facebook, I love cardinals. I love pictures of cardinals. I think it's wonderful that cardinals are around, not the team, the bird. So I think it's wonderful. But some people say, whenever a cardinal comes, it's one of the souls of my ancestors visiting me through them. That's a beautiful sentiment, guys. It's just not true, all right? It's a bird. In fact, it has a bird brain, and after it leaves, it will poop on you. It's got nothing to do with your ancestors. Okay? That's just the way it is. Your soul is separated from your body. They're not revisiting you. So people are like, well, I go to a seance or whatever, and I hear that. Listen, that's demonic crap, and don't mess with it. Yes, the demons do know some things. They've been observing people, and they can use this. There is no evidence at any time, except for once in the Bible, where some soul has visited the earth through like a witch or whatever. And it was the witch of Endor. It was the day before Saul and his sons were killed. And Saul wanted the ghost, he wanted the spirit of Samuel, the prophet of Samuel, to come and talk to him. The witch wouldn't do it. And then when Samuel actually showed up, it scared the bajillywillies out of her because she'd never seen that before because it was real. She wasn't used to that, all right? So here he is, and he tells him stuff. He says, why have you awakened me, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, all this stuff freaked her out. Only instance in all of the Bible that you'll ever see that. Only instance. The rest is just demonic stuff. Don't mess with it. All right, you got it? Okay, so we're separated from our souls, and our bodies are separated. Now, the Bible tells us that life continues in the end, and we just did an entire, like, three quarters of a year on the Revelation and that book. But in the end, what happens? There are 7 years where this thing finishes up. And at the end of these 7 years, Christ returns. And this is what is called the first resurrection. You'll know it in the scripture. It's about Revelation 18, 19, 20, right in there. I forget exactly where. But you can type in, this is the first resurrection. It's that verse, all right? This is the first resurrection. This is when the bodies of those who have placed their faith in Christ rise from the dead and are reinstated to their souls, their bodies together. This is the first resurrection. These bodies taken back with their soul, a new body, this resurrected body is the one like we were intended to have first. The seed of the first is still there. The seed of your body is still there. My son asked me yesterday, will we recognize everybody in heaven? Oh, yeah, we'll recognize each other in heaven. I said, man, you look younger and kind of prettier. But we'll recognize each other. We'll see each other. We'll know each other. In fact, the Bible says we'll know all things. It doesn't mean we'll know all things, but we'll know all that we need to know. And we're going to be resurrected at that time. The seed, our first body, joined back with our soul and given a new body, a resurrected body that is intended to never know decay, to never know death, to live forever. That's what happens. All right, and this is at the end of that. And then it says we rule with God, with Christ, on this earth for 1,000 years, one millennia. At the end of that millennia, what happens is Satan, the devil, the jerk, the crummy dude, he's bound up for 1,000 years. At the end of those 1,000 years, we don't know how close to the end, but toward the end, he's released. And then he deceives nations. People are still marrying and doing their thing. Life is happening, but it's with the rule of Christ for these 1,000 years. 1,000 year, I guess not plural, for this 1,000 year time, this millennium. At the end, Satan is released, deceives the nations, and it's a pretty quick deal, but Jesus squashes them forever, and Satan is sent off forever and ever. At that point, there's what's called the second death. This is where it's described in scriptures, where God brings us together, and the Bible says he divides us like sheep and goats. Now, I kind of like sheep, kind of like goats, but I like God apparently likes sheep better because the sheep are here, and he divides them up. And some of them say, Lord, we knew you, Lord, but he says to depart from them. Why? Because he didn't know them. Hang on to that. Depart from me, I never knew you. And so those without faith in Christ, according to Scripture, are sent away, not where they were intended to go, because hell, the outer darkness, whatever you want to call it, where this Satan figure, this real person that deceives us, is to be banished, was designed for him and those angels that followed him. But because we did the same rebellion, that really is our destiny. That's your destiny as a person who has chosen not to follow Christ. That's your destiny for all human beings, because we've chosen to sin and mess up. Jesus reverses our destiny because he covers our sins and he paid the price for our sins on the cross. That's why the cross. You get that? You follow me? Yeah, it's theology, but it's real. So because of Jesus' death on the cross, we can be, our sins can be covered. And then we have a resurrection awaiting us. First Adam brings death. Second Adam brings life. But this second death is where those are banished away. And then what happens? Our resurrected bodies, this earth that you're on right now, these heavens and earth, this atmosphere, this galaxy that we're in, is swept away. Then there's a new heaven. There's a new earth. I don't mean heaven beyond. There are new heavens. There's a new atmosphere. There's a new earth. There will be no sun. The glory of God will give the light to us. There will be no night. And there's also no ocean, but which I think it's kind of weird. Sorry if you're a water person. I'm sure there's some lakes for you to do. That's what happens. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. He must reign until he's put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. This is the place that we're talking about. This new heaven, new heavens, new atmosphere, this new earth. And it sounds freaky to some people, and you're wondering when the Kool-Aid's going to be passed out. Because it's in the Bible, I'm not making it up. It's really not weird. This new earth is where we will live. See what happened? It was as it was intended to be to begin with. Life. God living with us, bodies that did not decay, nature that did not decay around us. We eat from the fruits. It gives us life. There's no death. There's no sickness. There's no sadness. There's no grief. There's no any of that. Why? Because all that are there have chosen to be there. All that are there have been given resurrected bodies designed to live forever and ever. All right? You catch it? That's what the scriptures tell you. Now, it's over a lot of different books and over a lot of different places, but that is the story. That is the full story of the gospel. We don't often tell the full thing because, you know, there's a limited amount of time. And the most important thing is that you put your faith in Christ now and that your soul goes to be with God when you die. That's the most important thing. So that's what we talk about the most. But listen, there is a redemption plan, a resurrection plan, a new life plan for you, for your body, for the earth, for all that is in it, for all of nature, for all of everything to be restored, to be brought back, to be resurrected to as it was intended to begin with. And the last thing to be killed, the last thing to die is death itself. This is your future. This is your future if you follow Christ. Now I'm going to share something really harsh with you, okay? And I don't want to be, and I don't mean to be. But if I don't tell you, and you die, and you're before the Father, and you're before Christ and everything, you'll be like, I went to church for crying out loud, and you didn't bother to tell me. So I'm going to tell you. When there's this division of sheep and goats, Jesus turns to one and he says, depart from me. Why? Because I never knew you. And they said, Lord, we did all these things in your name. He says, I never knew you. The harsh thing to say, especially for our culture, is, listen, they are not all right. Hindu, Islam, Buddhism, New Agey thing, whatever you've come up with, Christianity, that humanity has changed from what the scriptures say, they cannot all be right. You will not appear before God and say, well, you know, I sincerely followed my own path. It will not work. I'm telling you, it's harsh to hear. I'm telling you now, because at that time, it will be too late. You can be offended before God, but it won't matter. You can be offended by me right now, and there's still time to do something about it. You hear what I'm saying? I'm doing this because I love you, not because I want to be mean, or that I don't like any other group. And I'm bashing on Christianity, too, because we've made it something else. Listen, if you're like, well, I was born a Christian. Nobody is born a Christian. You know what you're born? You're born ready to sin. That's what you are. You're born dead to God. That's where we all are. Nobody's born a Christian. And I don't care how much water somebody slapped on you or how many times you got dragged to church as a kid. You are not a Christian from what God, how God looks at it, until you have placed your faith in Him, surrendered your will to Him. He says, depart from me. Why? Because you weren't a good person. Not what He says. Depart from me. Why? Because I don't like you, because you weren't nice. He says, depart from me. I don't know you. See, we don't need another religion to happen. And Jesus was not about religion. Jesus wants to know you. The Spirit of God living in you. It's not another religious thing. It's, do you know Jesus? And if you know Jesus, maybe that's a religious thing. I don't know. But if you know Jesus, that's what He's looking for. He wants to know you. He wants to live with you. You may not understand all of the theology in the world. I don't get it either, all of it. But I will tell you, what you do need to understand is what I understand. I'm a mess up. I'm a sinner, and I'm a screw up. And I was born destined to be that way, it seems, because I'm in this whole mess, right along with everybody else. But Jesus reversed my destiny. Why? Because I'm good? No. Because I'm a preacher's kid? Oh, Lord, have you met preacher's kids? No. Because I know I need God. And I know that I've sinned. And I put my trust in Him. And I transferred my trust from myself. And I put it into Him. And because of that, I have all these promises. Because of Jesus, I have all these things. Not because I have earned them or merited them. It's not going to be you get to the end of the line and you and God kind of have a deal and figure out how much was good and how much was bad. One bad is too much, guys. And no good is good enough to outweigh that. And that's the truth. What it's all about is not all that. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to try. Quit trying. It's surrender. 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 Place your faith in. Resurrection is the end of death, and you can have it. Resurrection's also a gift, and you can receive it. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. And I'm going to invite you, if you're willing to surrender right now and put your trust in Christ and believe, I'm going to invite you to pray a simple prayer where you can receive what Jesus has promised you. Say a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. God, I need you. Jesus, I do believe you're the Son of God. I do believe you died for my sins. I do believe you rose again from the dead. And I'm going to ask you to be my Savior and forgive me of my sins right now. And I'm going to ask you to be my leader and to be the Lord of my life right now. As best I know, I surrender myself to you and I put my faith in you. Send your Holy Spirit to live inside of me so that I can know you, so that you can guide me. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me, for rising again from the dead. And I look forward to the day when I do die and I am with you forever and ever and ever with your people. In Jesus' name, amen.